Hello, and welcome to Astrobloom Podcast with Vanya Banks. Join me as we journey into the earthly and celestial realms to uncover the mysteries of the universe and the healing power of plants and planets. By tuning into this podcast, you'll learn how to find wholeness within, integrate your shadow, and build a secure foundation to unlock the full expression of your authentic self. Everyone, welcome to another podcast episode of Astrobloom Podcast. I am your host, Vanya Banks, and with me here today, I have Candice Rebollo, who is a psychic medium and breathwork detox facilitator. So welcome, Candice. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Vanya, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here on my birthday of all days too. I think that's super synchronistic. And you study astrology so much, so I think that's super fun, and I'm just excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so that's a perfect segue into maybe your big three. Happy birthday, Candice. We're here on the last day of Leo season, so yes. Leo sun, right?
Yeah, Leo sun, exactly. Leo sun, Virgo moon, and I'm a Gemini rising.
Oh, okay, cool. I always love to think of, I don't know, for Gemini energy, what always comes to mind for me is like, it is really like this channel between realms, right? Because I think of Hades, the messenger god, being able to kind of go between heaven and earth and the underworld and really carry those messages through. So I feel like it's very fitting to be showing up in the world as a Gemini rising with this mediumship capability that you have, right?
Totally between worlds. And I'll have to understand a little bit more about the Hades Gemini connection, because I actually don't know what that means. And I just had a thought yesterday, because I work a lot in the darkness, and I thought, where's the darkness placement in my chart? I never really seen like the underworld fully represented, maybe beyond Pluto, but I have to pick your brain about that. And I think that the Gemini aspect of me, the way I understand it as well, is it really keeps me like a forever learner. Like I cannot satiate the part of me that wants to learn everything. Like it's never done. I'm always learning. I'm always studying. I'm always hungry, for that like deeper wisdom. And it's like nonstop. It's literally nonstop.
Yeah, I totally get that. So yeah, Gemini, I think there's just a level of curiosity, right? Of like gathering information, being able to share that information, share that wisdom. And then I think it's also your Virgo moon, because Virgo is also another sign ruled by Mercury, which in Roman mythology, the messenger god is Mercury. In Greek, it is it's Hermes. Sorry, I think I said Hades, but I meant Hermes.
Oh, Hermes. Because, I know all about Hermes.
Yeah. So Hermes is the messenger who would be able to go into the underworld to get messages from Hades, is I think what I meant. So yeah, basically both of those signs are ruled by Mercury. So there is this element of like really being able to gather and process information and just, yeah, a curiosity, like this ability to communicate it as well, right? So that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like I can resonate because I'm a Virgo sun and my moon is in the third house, which is really connected to that Gemini energy of like information gathering, conscious mind, all of these things. So
I love that. I love that so much. And yeah, that's always what I tell my clients and my students that I train, like, I'm just the middleman. Here's what I'm receiving. This is for you or this is for the group, you know, and that messenger aspect of what that mercurial energy is all about is very powerful. And Mercury is such a big part of my chart and what I'm here to do. It's like the forever learner, forever teacher. And that's how I see myself. And the more I teach, the more I learn, the more I grow. And so that's one of the things I absolutely love doing is teaching, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Just for those people that might be also interested in human design, would you happen to know your human design energy type?
Yes, I'm a 5-1 manifesting generator. I have emotional authority. And what else? I'm left angle cross of industry. What else do I know? Not self, the theme is frustration, you know, definitely moved through that a lot of that a few years ago. But definitely in my more like, you know, balanced space and relationship with myself, which is so beautiful. And yeah, I hope that's, is there any piece of my human design that I left out that you're curious about?
Yeah, no, I think just a general overview like that is good for people who are into it and who, really dive down the human design rabbit hole. I know kind of the surface level of it, and so I do know, what 5-1s mean. I feel like I have a lot of them in my life. I'm a 5-2, so we seem to kind
Nice.
of connect. I don't know how that
Yeah.
happens, but
My
yeah.
brother's a 5'2". I think you and him are kind of, I don't know if I've met very many 5'2"s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I
Yeah,
haven't.
interesting. Yeah, and the emotional authority is also interesting because it's like having to ride that wave right before
Oh
you
my
kind of make a
gosh.
decision. I
Yep.
the same thing. It's
Yeah.
takes some
Always is
time
like
to get used
me. I'm
to.
like, where am I going? Wait, I'm up here. Wait, no, I'm gonna make this choice. And I'm like, oh my gosh, gotta
Don't make
wait this out.
don't make commitments when you're on a high, right?
Yeah,
I
that's
get
been
that
quite the challenge.
for sure. Amazing. Well, now that we've got you all profiled, I'd love for you to give the listeners a little bit of an overview of, what your title that I introduced you at really means. How do you help people with the gifts that you have?
I love it. So, I am a psychic medium, an intuition coach, a clairvoyant, a channel, a master breathwork detox facilitator. I do so many modalities. But really, it all follows, it all falls under the umbrella of psychic medium. And one thing that I absolutely love doing is I love attracting my light worker fam, and I love equipping them with the tools to go out and create and lead in their own practice by first attuning them, and then in the process of attuning them and getting them really in this space where they're able to release and hold space for their own darkness, then really teach them how to do that for others and be prepared to do that and prepared for success really within the tools that I teach and the practices that I've kind of put together. So that is my favorite thing to do. It's like teaching. That's the thing that lights me up. So it's funny because I've actually veered more away from one-on-one readings, one-off readings even as well. And my passion is working with people on a continuous basis, whether it's, one-on-one in my bigger, like, psychic development programs, or if it's in my courses, that actually is what fulfills me truly. And I'm always building and I'm always creating new things for people to come and land and expand, and at the same time, really develop their intuitive abilities, because that's what I feel a lot of people need, especially women. We've been so conditioned out of trusting our own intuition, knowing what intuition even is, learning how to lean into that, knowing when something's off and what it's about, and going deeper into that and doing the shadow work associated with what the intuition brings up. And helping you kind of see others as well in the ways that we need to see them so that we can also protect ourselves, honor our boundaries. And really, it's like a, I like to see it as like a holistic or a wholesome form of like healing. I'm just not out here, delving information about your future, the past that needs healing, but I'm out here showing you how to do it, equipping you with the tools to do so, so that you can have a better understanding of who you are, where you came from, and then where you're going.
I love that. It's such an empowering way to help people, right? Because I can resonate with you in terms of the one-on-one readings and things like that. Of course, those are still part of what I offer, and I think it's beautiful to have those moments of connection with people and help give them, validation, clarity, whatever it is that they need in the moment.
Yeah.
But it does end up being a little bit transactional, where the real impact happens when you can work with a person, long term, or you can teach them really how to hone in and connect with their own intuition in their own way, because it's going to be different for everyone,
Yes.
using, the experience you've had with other clients and with yourself and on your journey. So I love that. I think
Exactly.
it's also that Virgo energy that comes through, and Gemini, because I find all of my Virgo and Gemini signature people are always, teaching,
Yeah.
dispersing information in
That's
some way. So
me. I take the modalities, I sort of change the things I need to change to make things more digestible for people. It's like, that's a 5-1 in me. It's the part that's here to do things differently and here to show people the way. You know, I build a lot of foundation. I research a lot of things. I'm like the seeker, and then I find what works, and then I regurgitate it back for people and like, hey, you know, like this thing works over here. Come do this thing and let's do it together. And let's, you know, together we rise. That's what I always say too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So I guess for people that, because you mentioned at one point, you know, what even is intuition, to someone who is, because there are a lot of people, myself included, you know, years ago, I feel like I was very disconnected from my intuition and, you know, my own journey in terms of what I've been able to do in my work and how I help people is very much about connecting back to the intuition through astrology. But for those people that are really early on in this journey and are kind of maybe just discovering their intuition, what would you say intuition is in your terms?
Yeah, that's a great question. Intuition to me is like, what can you receive, right? I almost feel like it's this crown chakra related aspect of how we receive. What can you receive into your vessel, into your brain, into your thought processes, and process and understand what it's really trying to show you? Whereas psychic ability, I see as a little more like localized, like what I can pick up here around me. Intuition is like, boom, like it's up there and it's coming down here and it's able to be processed and brought through for others or understood for self. Understanding your next lesson, timeline, that next thing that you're needing to really work with, the next level of your shadow work that you got to do so that you can level up. And I really believe that when you're in tune, when you're intuiting, these things become easier and easier to do and to grasp. And it becomes a much more graceful process as opposed to a lot of us who, when we first get started, we know it's like clunky. We're like stumbling and falling and it's messy. And as we develop an intuition, things get easier. Things get easier to process, easier to have, easier to own about ourselves. It gets easier to look in the mirror, you know, mm-hmm. and that takes time to develop, really, because in developing an intuition, my nose is itchy. Sorry. This happens a lot when spirit's wanting to talk. So there's a message for you later. We'll tap into that. Hopefully.
Yeah, at the end of this episode. That's so interesting.
my nose, every time it's like a little feather on my nose, every time that happens, it's like, oh, someone's here. Someone's here.
So
if you see me doing that, yeah, I swear I don't have like something that I'm just constantly itching at. Spirit trying to get my attention. So where was I? Intuition. Okay, developing intuition. This is the tricky part because people feel so disconnected from their intuition because we all have a lot of clogged up energy pathways, right? There's these things called nadis, and it's like whereas veins carry blood, nadis carry divine chi, you know, energy through our body to keep what I believe is our soul in our body and energy flowing to all the organs, to our heart, to keep everything flowing. And those nadis, they get clogged up because we go through trauma, we go through breakups, we go through huge pain, we've been through all kinds of stuff, this life and others. And our energetic nadi highways, they get thrown off, they get blocked, there's roadblocks, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And you don't even know what's there until you clear it. You won't even know sometimes that you had this thing going on until you've healed it. So there's a lot of that going on with a lot of people too, you know, as unconsciously carrying a lot of pain. And sometimes it's ours. The other thing is a lot of times it's not even ours. It's ancestral patterns that are trying to play out within the family system so that somebody clears them and somebody knows this is going on. And it has no other way to showcase itself other than to cause us pain, because that's the only way. It's like, pay attention to me. It's a knock on the door. So our job is to face those things. And when we do, and when we can learn how to deal with them, process through them, and love the lesson, show compassion for ourselves, forgiveness for others and ourselves, then that's when more and more intuition starts to come on board. But I think this is why a lot of people feel disconnected from their intuition, because sometimes it can take a lot of groundwork to really develop that skill. But when you get there, it is the most satisfying thing. It is like there's few things that I think really satisfy a woman, I feel, and just that the women I work with, it's like to see them develop their intuition and just know, trust themselves. They're building a trust and a confidence in themselves and a respect in what their consciousness is showing them, learning to tune into those pings. there are a few things more satisfying for me to witness than that process right there.
Yeah, for sure. And it is a journey. And I think the more you kind of lean into trusting your intuition with little things and understanding how it speaks to you, like you said, the easier it gets. And
Yes.
it's really like a muscle that you have to work out, essentially.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It is
Yeah.
exactly like a muscle. That's exactly it. It's like reps, repetition, right? Repetition, practice, going in and intentionally choosing to do it too. You know, that right there will initiate the process of you developing your intuition, just saying yes. Like
Yeah.
hello to the universe and yes to my intuition. That alone is very beautiful too.
Amazing. So one of the things that I would love to learn a little bit more about as well is, you know, how did you get to where you are right now? I know that can be like a very loaded question and there's always breadcrumbs that sort of lead us down a specific path, but what was maybe, or what were some of the most pivotal moments that sort of led you to reconnecting with your intuition? And, or were you always connected to your intuition? And this is just something that you really like hyper developed throughout life. And yeah, I would love to hear a little bit more about that.
My intuition has always been there. I always knew what my path was going to be. It just took me a while to believe it. but I have always known since I was a kid, I was always being pinged, you know, when I was going through the reason I am who I am is literally because I had a really rough childhood and I had a really painful experience growing up. And then that led to a string and series of, you know, very toxic relationships because how can you grow up in a very unbalanced home and think in life you're just gonna like breeze through life and have the most amazing relationships. It's like, nope, all your patterns are gonna repeat themselves in your relationships. So that's what really helped me refine the gift, but I always had the gift, even when I was going through trauma when I was very young. Like I can remember having these thoughts at like 4, 5, and 6 years old. And while I was experiencing the trauma, I remember my intuition, my angels, and my guides telling me, these are the things that one day you're going to have to work through all of this stuff. You're going to have to forgive all of this, work through it, and then teach other people that wisdom and that voice was there from that early on. I can remember it clearly. And then you grow up a little bit more and you still hear the voice, but you dim it a lot more, you know, because in society we learn how to not trust ourselves, not see our value, and we believe our value resides in the hands of other people. So I went through that phase too. And coming out of that phase and making a lot of mistakes in relationships and getting tumbled around in life and having a lot of even more family secrets come up in my life helped me really go deep. I really had to dig deep for healing for me to be able to like literally survive that process. And I'm so thankful I did. And I never thought I'd be on the other side where I'm in like full forgiveness of all the things that happened to me, in full forgiveness for all the ways that I was victimized in the past. There's literally nothing but love. And if you would have told me that that would have been the outcome back when these things were happening, I would have thought you were crazy. But in developing my intuition even more, it always led me back to healing those past moments. And I found the more I went back to the past and I healed the things that hurt really bad and that happened already, then I would just only come back to myself more and I would just only feel more and more and more whole and less fragmented. And I just from there really saw my light and who I am, what I'm here to do, how I'm here to clear a lot of that dark energy for others as well, so they can feel the same freedom that I now feel every day in life. You know, I'm not saying every day is rainbows and butterflies, but compared to what it used to be. And now I literally wake up and I live my dreams. I literally live my dreams. I work for myself. I am so satisfied from the inside out. Everything that I do in life, I created it and I did it. And it just that has been like the biggest, I think, part of the journey is just again turning back, facing the darkness, and because of the traumatic childhood as well, I was always scanning people to see who's safe, who's not, who's got stuff going on behind that happy little mask. And so because of that, I could always see who is aligned and who is balanced and who is genuinely, you know, good, let's say from the inside out versus those who weren't at the time. And that skill just transferred over to me being able to really see past people's facades and egos and the parts of them that are afraid to look. And our consciousness is set up, guys, to not see the pain that we grew up in. So we have to really like work to see these things and work to undo it. And that's how I really like stepped into the more fuller power of what I can do and who I am.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who just don't want to look, you know, beneath that rug because
Correct.
There is so much pain and trauma and all of these things that we've kept repressed that can surface when you peel back, you know, the rug and look under it. But there is so much empowerment that comes through that. And I feel like that's a very kind of scorpionic process. So I'd be interested to understand, you know, where your Scorpio placements lie in your chart, because it's usually only people who have those, you know, a Scorpio signature of some kind that are
my,
really
my north node's in my ninth house. I think that's part
okay.
of it. My
okay.
Pluto's also in Scorpio, so
yeah, I think it's a lot of our generation too that have Pluto and Scorpio, especially if it's a prominent like placement or if it's got a lot of aspects going to it. You know, we are a bit more willing to do the shadow work and to look
yes
underneath and to kind of alchemize all of that, right? Because there is so much empowerment that comes from that and so much wholeness and integration.
Oh, I think it's eighth house. The eighth house is the Scorpio
house.
Okay, that's
yeah.
where my north node is. That's what
okay.
it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
In Pisces. So it's like a lot of psychic energy, a lot of intensity.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go there. Let's go to the taboos. Like I don't want to waste time. You know, if I'm going to work with somebody, I'm almost always going to find some of the darkest elements first. And that's what's so satisfying to me. Because if I start there, then helping you through that is going to be so worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so worth your time.
I can totally resonate. I'm the same way. I'm like, if you're not willing to go to the depths, like I'm not your person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think also your Virgo South Node then is really good at just, you know, really seeing the details and seeing the systems and kind of being able to, you know, understand the intricacies of all of that. So that's a really unique.
I think my South Node is in Leo. South Node, Leo, North Node, Pisces. But it's in the eighth house. My north node is in the eighth house.
Okay. Well, normally it would be if your north node is in Pisces, then actually the opposing sign would be your south node. So it would be Virgo south node.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to take a look.
Yes, we
will.
Yeah,
it could be either south node in Leo, north node in Aquarius, or south node in Virgo, north node in Pisces.
Oh, you know what? Okay, that's what it is. I am confusing things here. My MC line is in Pisces. My north node is in Aquarius. Aquarius
oh, okay.
in the eighth.
Okay. Cool.
South node in Leo. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. So we have the same nodes actually. Mine are in a different house placement, but same Leo Aquarius. So it is very much about, you know, learning how to be a leader, and really like learning how to be uniquely yourself and offer those gifts to the world, but not to do it out of an egotistical place, like to do it because you're serving the collective.
Yes.
So there really is this like altruism behind it, I would say.
For sure. Oh my gosh, that's like so true for me. I always see the bigger picture. It's like I'm always kept seeing the bigger. That's why I have like the scales of justice. You know, I work with some guides. They call themselves the Watchers, and what they've showed me is how they weigh souls on the other side. These beings, they help kind of decide where the souls are going. Like, you know, are they back in the incarnation loop? Are they kind of not ready to move on from their darkness in that lifetime? Are they ready to ascend? Are they ready to go back home, so to speak? Like, what's this soul doing? And so really being able to tap into that frequency and seeing them and witnessing what they do was such a big awakening, another big awakening for me. And that altruism is like the way I see it, is like part of that. It's like the bigger picture, you know. It's like some people are out here creating karma, and then some people like us are out here clearing it, you know. And it's a mixture, and life is like a beautiful game. And I think we have to attune to what our karma is here to deal with. And karma's good and karma's bad. Like we have both. We come in with both, you know. And I think our job is to learn to balance the scales.
Exactly. Of karma. Yeah. Very well put.
Yeah,
I love that. So I feel like there's so many things we could go down with, you know, your journey. But one of the things that you mentioned is this aspect of, you know, kind of the string of toxic relationships. And I mean, I know a lot of us in the healing space know that we always pick, you know, tox or not, we don't always pick toxic partners, but we pick partners, whether they are romantic partners, whether they are like business partnerships, whether they're friendships, but often the most intense lessons come from our romantic partners
Yes.
that essentially repeat the traumas that we were exposed to in our childhood, in our past lives, even in an effort to clean that up, right? To clean, to heal the trauma, to move forward, to evolve, to, you know, become whole.
Exactly.
So as we currently have the South Node in Libra, really in the North Node in Aries, really highlighting this aspect of like self versus other. How do we maintain our individuality within relationship? How do we show up with an open heart, but not give our individuality away within relationships? How do we keep those scales balanced of the self versus other? And we actually have the asteroid Ceres, who I've been really diving into lately. She represents Demeter in Greek mythology. And basically she's a pretty complex energy to describe, but one of the things I've really been getting from her placement in people's charts and my own chart in a lot of like relationship dynamics I've been examining is that some of her shadow aspects can be this like deep possessive love, which can be obviously quite toxic in some ways because there's this almost like need to possess
Totally.
that comes up in dynamics with her. And because she had a hard time essentially letting go of her daughter Persephone, who got so apparently abducted by Hades and taken to the underworld. But in that sense, she also really represents a lot of like this death and rebirth and like these grieving cycles that can happen in relationships, you know, as we come together, as we come apart, the growth that happens throughout that. And so I'd love to maybe pick up the thread on some of the work that you do within, yeah, helping people maybe release relationships that aren't aligned or heal from toxic relationships. Just on this thread of the collective energy that we're sort of experiencing right now.
Totally. We're totally experiencing that collectively. And I also love that I see these things come up in my courses all the time. Like one thing I was sharing with people is that I started to notice about 3 to 4 weeks into my psychic mediumship certification is that a lot of the channels would start seeing exes in meditations or in dreams. And a lot of these like unworthiness aspects and fragments were coming up around that time because they had done enough work to now, okay, they're ready to see that. That one relationship, the door wasn't fully shut. And that one relationship really kind of dug into their lack of self-worth. You know, it was really like highlighting these things that they weren't able to fully digest at the time. And this is for everyone listening. You have to go, when you have an old relationship, even if it's over, even if you are married, okay, there are still things from that past that will come back and trickle in when you start healing. And it doesn't mean that you're not a loyal or faithful partner. It doesn't mean that you like that person again. It just means there's an element of what's coming through that's now ready to be seen and healed in regards to what that person was reflecting to you that you could not see and process at the time. And now you can. So that's why it comes back to the surface. And I feel like we're all going through that like collectively right now. And this is not only true for romantic relationships. This is true for personal relationships too. I don't remember where I read this, but I resonated with it so deeply because I always felt like, in a way, I was kind of like self-orphaned in this lifetime. And I love both my parents, but I had to go through this deep process of separation. Well, I only met my biological father a few years ago, so let me just say that too. But I went through this process with the both of them, even after meeting him and with my mother, where I really had to separate myself from them. And I realized there's always this aspect of consciousness, our inner child consciousness, that wants to please them. And it will automatically absorb all of their pain to just receive love from mom and dad. And I had to honor that that was in me. And then I also had to kill that part of me, because that part of me was keeping me in such a toxic cycle, looking up to this mom and dad that I wish were like, you know, these like, how shall I say, like godly figures who have it all figured out and know what they're doing. And it's like that the aspect of our consciousness that wants mom and dad and just wants to be held we go through the harsh realizations of realizing mom and dad are just people too, and they actually don't have shit figured out more than we do.
Yeah.
As much as we love them and as much as they love us. And I really had to like see, oh, this is about me. I'm kind of like out here alone. And that's how a lot of us feel. You know, we're never alone, but we go through those phases, and that phase where, and again, I feel like we're going through this collectively, where we do have to do it alone, where we do have to put up boundaries, where we do have to cut some ties, because we see, oh, this person was acting like a controlling person in my life, or this person was unconsciously like my handler. And that doesn't even mean that they're consciously doing it, guys. Like, there are people in your life who will quote unquote be handling you, and you don't even realize it's going on, and you somehow benefit from that relationship too. But it's like, when you wake up, you wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
And you really see how, oh my gosh, I'm in a relationship with this person because I have this shadow aspect going on that feels really good in relationship to them. Or this person is really feeding my need to be seen and heard. And I'm afraid if I let this go, no one's going to see and hear me, right? Or, oh my God, this person like validates me. I've never been validated in my entire life. And sometimes we'll take little bits from people who are not so good just to satiate a part of ourselves that's desperately looking for something. And I do want to note, sometimes we are the toxic ones without realizing it too. You know, I'm not going to negate that either, because what I teach is all about like going from the victim to the victor and then transcending that whole pattern altogether, where it's just compassion. You learn that we're all everyone's traumas. It's like bumper cars. That's the way I see it. We're like bumper cars, and everyone's trauma is bumping into everyone else's trauma, and we're all pointing out shit to each other, and yeah, we're all just trying to help each other grow. And it's a very messy process. And I feel like we're all going through it on a collective level with lovers, with personal relationships, and it's all for the benefit of you growing. If we can hunker down and just take a breath and understand what's going on and equip ourselves with the right tools to do the right kind of shadow work to own ourselves, then we understand, oh, this is a whole, like the bigger scheme is it's love. It's drawing us back deeper into our authenticity so we can shine brighter from our center in who we are. And then from there, I can manifest more and more things, because relationships are evolving. Just like humanity is evolving, spirituality is evolving, relationships are going to be tested more than ever. The old model of mom and dad, mom staying home and working, and dad just going out and making the money, and that being a completely satisfying dynamic is like, it's dying. And I'm not saying that dynamic still doesn't work. And in fact, I want that dynamic myself. You know, there's an element, you know, that I want to have children. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I want those things. So I'm not going to sit here and say that there's not beauty in traditionality as well, because there is. But I'm saying on a deeper spiritual, mental, emotional level, we need more as people. So everything is shifting. Relationships are changing. And that's what I feel like this South Node in Libra is really about with this series, you know, conjunction happening, this passing through it. It's like, how do we show up in relationships? What are we looking for? How do we set up dynamics where we can compassionately allow each other to be ourselves and grow at the same time and become different people? Because I think people start getting really scared in relationships when shadow work starts happening and growth starts happening, because people are like, oh no, are you going to like grow out of me? Are we going to shift out of, you know, people could get jealous. It spurs fights. And it all boils down to like an insecurity and a fear of abandonment. And these are all the things that we're needing to like really clear the trapped emotions around and face ourselves in the relationships at this point. Moving forward, I feel like you cannot get in a relationship unless you're really ready to look in the mirror and unless you really have like a developed heart. And that's what I see my courses and my work kind of doing for people. It's like that preparation for deep love, and let us lovingly learn to belong to each other and how to be graceful in the process. It's already hard one-on-one. And now we're bringing another soul into the mix with us to grow with us. And we just have to have ultimate compassion for them and ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I think, you know, especially like romantic relationships, is like that's where you face your toughest like mirrors of yes. your shadows. And
yes.
it's always easy to like play the victim and point the fingers and, mm-hmm. you know, say this is your fault, you're not doing the work or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, it's also pointing something back at you that you haven't fully integrated or owned, or, you know, it's definitely that element of like balancing those scales, right? And finding totally. The equality within relationships too. So
Yeah, and I've had to learn. I'm still learning. You know, I'm not in a relationship, but I almost see myself like as preparing for one. And I've had to learn compassion for the masculine because I've always seen, you know, like in my shadow aspect, I've always sort of seen, and because of all the trauma I went through too, at the hands of the masculine, I always sort of seen men as very immature, young men. Children, beings, you know, who don't know what they're doing. I would just lack compassion, be very like angry, rageful, resentful, embarrassed of them. Like, what the hell are you doing? You know, like, why are you like this? And it wasn't until I realized, like, wait, men do hold on to the trapped emotions too. They just have nowhere to put it. They wouldn't even, most of them have no idea where to start. You know, and these like this deep compassion came in for understanding that they don't really have safe spaces as much as women do. I mean, it's growing, but they don't really have as many spaces to go in and work on their shadow aspects and work on their dark parts and understand what's even going on. And in fact, society and the patriarchal system I feel we live in still kind of tells them it's okay and you should move through life with all that dark negative ego instead of teaching them how to undo it and teaching them how to heal the ego so that the ego propels them into the light instead of into more of their darkness and just trying to defend that darkness instead of stepping into their light. And there's not a lot of tools, and I don't think many are even aware that that's something that's going on the collective too, which can be challenging, but I've learned to become so much more compassionate, and I just see the you know the wounding of the masculine as part of what the feminine is needing to work through too. It's kind of like we're watching with the masculine on the sidelines, like we hope they get it. That's how I feel sometimes, you know? And more of them are, and it's beautiful to watch. And I'm developing again more and more compassion for that, and probably, you know, holding space for them in the future too, because I mainly work with women, but I just recently had the download like that now that more compassion understanding for what they're going through is coming in, that I'll probably open up spaces to work with men in the future for that very reason.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely have a few clients, you know, who identify as male, and it's always a really beautiful container to open up that space for them, and obviously just witness that unfolding that happens too, of them being able to reconnect with their intuition and like have a space, a safe space to process emotions and all of these things. So yeah, I can definitely resonate with that. It would be lovely. Like I have nothing against working with the masculine. It would be lovely to have more of that in my work as
Absolutely,
well.
absolutely. I agree. I agree. It's like welcoming more and more like of the masculine into our work. It's like traditionally my work attracts so many women because it's like develop your intuition and psychic ability and heal your ancestral lineages and typically most males haven't resonated with that or those who you know, identify as male, those who embody more masculine energy don't necessarily always stop to turn around to look at those things. But again, I feel like those things are shifting and I'm finding that there's more and more interest to the work. So it's like our job is just to like keep shining the light on the things that really light us up and it more all the people who need it, you know, male, female will and the in between will come and find exactly what they need at the right times. When they're ready.
Exactly. So with respect to some of these like relationship dynamics, you mentioned, you know, a lot of these old connections will start resurfacing for people when they open up their channel more, when they work more with their intuition, their third eye. And so I would just love to understand a bit more around, you know, how does it work to then start clearing some of this stuff? Is it shadow work? Is it energy work? Like I know you do breath work as well. So just
Yes.
love to understand a bit more of the tools that people would then use in working with you to help clear some of these attachments. Because I think
Totally.
from an energetic perspective as well, you know, I recently had some energy work done and did some breath work actually, where I had the realization that I had stored lots of very like trapped emotions in my hip, and it was actually manifesting as physical pain. And after I had done this energy work and did some like really potent breath work, it basically just went away.
Moved it out.
So it's, but I also think that especially in romantic partnerships, like, and as women, we tend to also store a lot of the maybe the trauma or the, the kind of that toxic energy like in our womb space as well, like from
Oh, totally.
intercourse.
Totally.
So yeah, I would love to hear more about how do you go about releasing those ties? How do you work through that?
It varies person to person, because there's a spectrum, right? Sometimes a relationship is incredibly toxic and there's like really dark attachments there. And then sometimes it was just like, like there's, let's call it more generalized tension within a relationship. It really depends what you have going on. Because sometimes these toxic relationships, they go back. They go way back in time. And we have to find the root. We have to find the root of like when this happened, why it happened, retell the story. Sometimes I tell people I just feel like a librarian. I'm like, go to this aisle, let this, like, check out this book, read the passage, see what it was. And then, okay, we understand it. Cool. Now let's clear it out through visualization, through breath work, through the ancestral alignments that I do to allow the pattern to be seen, heard, understood, and now thanked for the lesson. And then you watch it lift and go away, literally. So there's that aspect of things, and then sometimes it's as simple as seeing that we have an integrated part that or a part that needs integrating that needs to be looked at. Like, oh, like what can I give you for an example? Like the parts of you that feel like you can't do it on your own, right? That you can't be on your own. The part of you that feels like, oh no, I need this person to fulfill me in X, Y, and Z way. And then that's the only way that I'm worthy, right? If you have like a part like that going on, there's typically something somewhere living in your body that's telling you that story that just needs to be seen, understood, what it's trying to say, how it's been trying to say it, And then you bring that resource through somatically walking that experience, or you can also clear it by using a part of your body that is much stronger. I always say, like, we're self-healing beings, we're self-healing mechanisms. We're literally like these divine batteries. Just like you have parts that are wounded, you also have parts that are strong. It's like your own chi, it's your own divine life force energy that can heal anything in your body, including trapped emotions. So when you identify somewhere that's stuck, let's say the womb, right? Might be holding on to a lot of trapped emotions there, a lot of pain from yourself and maybe your previous lover. You can use a part of your body that might be strong. Maybe it's your third eye, maybe it's your heart, maybe it's your solar plexus that is as strongest at the moment. You can use that energy to send to the womb, to the other area that's wounded, to really help heal and clear it out, and then check back in as you've done that sending of energy, sending your own light back into somewhere else that needs it. And see if it's still there, if it's cleared. Sometimes they clear immediately. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's still there. And it looks like X, Y, and Z. It's a lot of guided visualization. You'd be surprised how your unconscious is ready to show you these things and pull back the layers and give you the visions and the insights as to what's really going on. You just need a little bit of guidance, right? Like, say, for myself, for Vanya, to help you understand, okay, what that pattern has been trying to say. That's it. That, like, our job is to see what has the pattern been trying to say? Where is it living in the body? Let's tell the story, and then that's going to clear it. And that's the pattern for the most part. Now, when something's deeper, stickier, sometimes there's different protocols, right? Sometimes you might need to couple that with some herbal baths and some cleanses. Sometimes there are like little fun but beautiful and loving rituals that you need to do to really bring in love and life force energy back into your emotional system, back into your body, right? So there's always tips and tricks to the trade, and no one, person's shadow work is going to be cookie cutter to the next person, but it's like finding what works for you, and it's always a beautiful process to like have support. That's why I do the work I do in groups, because I believe when we're witnessed in the work, we grow faster. Like when there are more eyes, ears, hands watching you, who are helping you through it. I believe we grow 10 times faster that way, and we can catapult, we can launch ourselves into all that we're looking to do so much faster when we do it in a safe, sacred space and a safe group.
Yeah, there's something to be said for just the power of community and people who can like see you for your authentic self, and you don't have to ex like use a bunch of energy kind of putting on those masks that you've worn
Exactly.
probably your whole life. So
Yep.
there's a lot of
Yep.
energy that just gets then channeled into the healing, then channeled into processing those emotions, those traumas, coming back into wholeness and into your authentic whole self. So For sure. No, that makes sense. It's never like a one size fits all formula, but yeah, I was just interested to hear a little bit more about some of the tools that you use.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's so many. I do psychic work, obviously, with channeling. We can clear it that way. We can clear with psychic somatics, which is somatic body work. I do ancestral alignments, which is ancestral lineage work. That works. That's probably one of my most powerful tools for sure. There's mirror work, breath work. I do a process called inner dance, which is like literally like a meditative music experience that aligns your right and left hemispheres of the brain and shows you all kinds of visions and things. And you're just lying there. So it's like I have tools. On tools, on tools, on tools, you know, because I love all of them and they all work and they all work for different things sometimes. And it's like, what do you want to color with today? You know?
Yeah, and I do truly think that like healing is a holistic, like multi pronged approach, right? Like you can't heal. That's why I think, even though I think talk therapy is incredibly powerful, you cannot heal trauma just with talk
No.
therapy.
You can't.
Have to involve the emotions, the subtle body, the energies. You have to involve the physical body as well, because all those things get trapped on the physical level and manifest as different imbalances, diseases, pains, whatever. And so it really is like that element of, bringing in the mind, body, and soul. Like there isn't,
Totally.
yeah.
Totally. It's the most beautiful thing. It's like we can't leave out any aspect of ourselves. It's just like when I'm teaching people to be psychic medium, you know, develop their psychic mediumship abilities, you would think I take them straight to their angels and guides. The first thing we actually do is I start with inner child work. That's the first thing we do because if I don't align you and if you're not working on your stuff while developing your intuition, I'd be doing a disservice in creating not fully prepared psychic mediums to deal with other people's darkness out there. Because if you can't face your own, you're certainly not going to be able to help somebody else get through theirs. And that's all that's going to come up when you're developing your intuition. And what you're able to see oftentimes is what people need to work on. And yes, where they're going, but also how they need to get there, which usually involves clearing a lot of blocks along the way. And to work with the inner child to make sure one, they're on board and they're excited about the psychic mediumship journey is important. And then two, that they're heard and that their needs are met too. Because if your inner child's needs are not met, it's going to be very hard to manifest anything else in life, truly,
Yeah.
especially a psychic ability.
100%. Yeah, I think all healing really needs to begin with healing the inner child,
Yes.
because there's obviously very, very few of us on earth, I think, in its entire existence that have ever received everything we needed from our guardians or parents. Like they, not saying that they didn't do the best they could in most
Totally.
cases, hopefully, but they are also wounded beings raising, imperfect beings. So
Exactly.
it's so important to understand what your inner child actually needs to feel safe, to be his or herself or themselves.
Yes. Yes. And just the simplicity of playing. I can't tell you how many times I, you know, we connect with an inner child and it's like, what do you need? Play. What do you need? Sing, dance. Playing, more play, basketball, playground, play, run, skip, jump, dance. It's play. And play is the most foundational thing in our human experience. And when we tap into play, that's when all the good things happen. And the reason we stop playing is because we get dumped on. You know, we have all these trapped emotions. We got a job to do. We got X, Y, and Z. We got all the excuses in the world to not stop and enjoy life and play. And it's sad. And I almost feel like that's the totality of my work. It's like, can you come back to yourself in a humorous, loving, playful way? Can we help you tap into the child eternal? You know, it's that's the part that is forever gonna be healing for
Very much that Leo South node as well, because
you.
whenever like Leo season comes around, it's such a time for me personally, and I know a lot of my clients as well, of like reconnecting with that inner child, being creative, finding play, right?
Yes.
Like really tapping into that creative expression. So I love
Yes,
that.
indeed.
Well, I'm just taking a look at the time here, and we're almost at an hour here. So I just wanted to bring it back to maybe you just speaking to who are the people that might want to work with you in terms of developing their psychic abilities? Like, are there certain signs where people might recognize that they're ready to, get some support with something like that? Or if there's anything else you want to share? for the listeners?
Totally. So there's a couple things. One, I'm launching a Safe Circle membership soon, which I don't have links for yet, but they're coming very soon. And it's going to help you understand if and how you have toxic relationships running in your life right now, and then provide you with a space to come and heal and work through those things and move the energy. I'm going to be doing the energy work with you in this membership, in this group space. It's going to be super beautiful, powerful, and impactful, and so cost effective. It's going to be a $67 membership, and we meet once a week, and we're going to be doing different things. We might do an ancestral alignment one day. We might do psychic somatic walk. We will do breath work. We'll do inner dance some days. We'll have guest speakers, all things around healing past relationships and manifesting the love you truly desire in your life. So there's that aspect there. So if you know you have toxic relationships in your past, get connected with me, stay connected with me, because that membership is going to be a key. It's going to be a key for you to understand what it is that you have going on, and then provide you with the tangible steps to clear it so that you don't bring that stuff into your next relationship, because we have a responsibility to make sure, that we also aren't dumping on our partners, and as best we can. And again, our stuff's going to come up in relationship anyways, but it's like developing that muscle for compassion for each other. The other aspect is, if you have an inkling, even if you just hear psychic mediumship development and it pulls you in and you're like, I wonder, or I've had some dreams about loved ones, or I get this ringing in my ear, or I just have this knowing, or sometimes I just get random chills in my body at like very distinct times, and I know something's trying to communicate with me. These sorts of things, or you just feel presence around you. You can smell certain things at certain times, certain loved ones who've passed on now, even. If you know you have those things going on, then we're likely meant to work together, or you're likely meant to develop your psychic mediumship abilities at some point in your life. Now, in general, if you're a light worker and you really feel that way, but you're afraid of like, where do I get started? How do I know? Then I'm also for you too, because I provide you with the tools to not only help you see just how much of a light worker you really are, but develop the skills to hold space for others. Develop your own psychic ability while we're clearing you out at the same time, so that you can step into the belief. Because if you have a pool where you're like, oh yeah, wait, no, I know I'm psychic mediumistic. These numerous things in my life have happened, that I couldn't have planned or couldn't have made up, and these synchronicities align to show you, to lead you back to who you really are, and what that's about, and what you're here to do, because your gifts, nobody on the planet can replicate it. You might think like, oh, the market's oversaturated with psychic mediums and healers, and who needs another Reiki master? We do. Think about the billions of people on this planet, okay, that have not done a lick of shadow work, that don't even know what that is. Okay. We are not oversaturated in the spiritual marketplace at all. We need every single person we can get. So there, and there's huge potential. I make multiple five figures in my business every month. And had you told me that even a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I would have laughed in your face. But I'm here. I'm living it. I'm breathing it. You can get paid, and paid generously, to help people through some of their darkest stuff, and to help them step into their biggest and brightest potential. And no, you don't need to have gone to school for 10, 20 years, and gotten a doctorate. No, it's that paradigm is coming to a close too. And I'm not saying we don't still need it in some senses, but we're all here to develop together. And psychic mediumship is now for the everyday Joe Schmo, just like me, just like any listeners who might feel like, you're not worthy enough, or maybe you don't have the gift. We do. It's a matter of deciding, and curiosity is all you really need. And find yourself in spaces like that I've created, or spaces that you're resonating with, and just like make the leap. Don't use the excuse of money or fear, or no, right now is not the time. I have the desire, but I don't feel good enough. And all those things are lies. Those things are lies. And to overcome them takes action, and non-action keeps them there. So that's how you'll kind of know. You'll fill that pool, but you might also feel resistance and fear, and that's okay too. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, that sounds so great. And thank you for sharing that with everyone. Thank you for sharing your wisdom in general. It's been lovely speaking with you And I feel like we'll have to do a part two at some point because there's so many avenues we can go down.
Oh,
So.
yes. So many. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. Oh, wait. Let me tap into a message for you and or your listeners if you're okay with that.
Sure, yeah. Why don't we do a collective message? Is that
Okay,
good?
collective.
Yeah.
Let's do a collective message.
Yeah.
Perfect. So that's who I feel like all the itching was for. So give me a sec. Let's tune into the collective message for the listeners. So this is totally South Node and Libra stuff. This is like heart activation. And the message I'm receiving is to not forget about the back of your heart. There is just like there's, chakras in the front part here. With the back, we gotta not forget the back part. And I almost say that South Node and like, that kind of past life version or the past or tuning into the unseen. That's kind of what I feel like the South Node can represent too, like where the blinders are even. It's like don't forget about the back of your heart. The back chakra heart aspect. That's literally the picture I'm seeing is like, don't forget to have your own back. Don't forget that you are your own greatest light and that you can get yourself through anything. And in that safety that you can create for yourself, so much can blossom from there. If you're willing to look at the past and you're willing to lovingly approach with like delicate hands and get your hands in there, you can do anything. The thing to avoid is to approach shadow work or to approach these pains, traumas, these repetitious patterns of toxic relationships with anger and frustration, because that only kind of lodges them in more and makes your ego more and more afraid to do the work. So it's like appease the ego, be nice to yourself, be calming to yourself, soothing, have your own back. Don't talk shit about yourself behind your own back, okay? Talk very well, talk very highly of yourself. And your relationships, even if you feel like you're not there yet. It's like we're calling that in. Remember the past ways of believing in yourself, those are lies. So we get to like patch up the back of the heart so that the heart can really project, move forward, and project all the things we're magnetizing in our lives right now.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. Very well aligned with the cosmos. And yeah, thank you for all of your wisdom, for sharing your gifts. And thank you everyone for listening. I will link Candace in the show notes. So if you want to get connected with her, please check them out. And yeah, let us know what you thought of the episode. Find us on Instagram, all the things. Thank you.
Thank you so much.